Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. My guest is Veronica Bartolini. Veronica has had a lot of experiences since childhood. She's had ET encounters. She's had off-world experiences with these off-world weird science programs. She's interacted with a number of different ET groups, and I'm really looking forward to her sharing her story. So without any further ado, Veronica Bartolini, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you, James, for having me. I'm very grateful to be here.
Oh,
I'm
the
glad I
pleasure.
met you in
Oh,
Florida.
likewise, likewise. Tell us, Veronica, how this journey of discovery started for you. Tell us about your childhood and how all this came about.
I can tell you when I was born in Nogales, Sonora, Mexico, and after I was 1 years old, 1 year old, my father and mother immigrated us to Nogales, Arizona. But the whole scientific manipulation, I'm a my lab, meaning I was made in a lab. All I know is that I was not born in a hospital, it was a clinic. And later on in life, I find out that Dr. Mengele had worked on me and these two Soviet Union brother doctors that had escaped there by adding plasmoids or whatever they call whatever kind of jabs they wanted to give me to augment me. But I'll go back to this, the simple life that I thought I had was. My mom puts me in this thing called the school. I was 3 years old, called Head Start. And there are many times that they would take us to the lake there. And then, we'd spin and spin in that little the thing that, you're in the monkey bars and, you're spinning that wheel. That was one of my favorites. I learned how to speak English, read and write when I was 3 years old. The dreams that I had, I still have them. I mean, I was very afraid of monsters in the closets, like every kid is, and also the monsters under my bed because my mom had a fascination of having us watch scary movies. And as I grew older, she had me watch very bad movies like The Exorcist and Carrie, and later on, my friends and I would watch, Freddy Krueger. So all of those things were in my dreams even before, I just never felt like I fit in school. I was always the kid that had questions and always had a bunch of answers that were like, they would look at me like, "What? You're weird." Like, would prove it. They always wanted me to prove things, and I'm like, I just know things, I've had, as a child, I've had many dreams that have come true. I would tell my mom about it, my parents, but then she would say that I was doing brujería, and I'm like, "No, I'm not doing brujería, Mom. This is me. This is my. I have had so many nightmares and dreams and things like that." Going back real quick, my grandmother, I used to have to wake her up, because my mom and my dad would leave us in Mexico for the summers. So my grandmother on my mom's side had a lot of bad nightmares, and I would have to wake her up, and then she would tell me to close the closet because she would see the people inside her closet. And of course, I'm little, and I'm like, "You're sending me to close it instead of you." But okay, because I would see them too, I've always, even to this day, I see things that are, in the trees. I see, the ships that are out there. I take pictures of everything. I can sense things that are around me. But anyway, so I come from from what they call a djinn line. We have these dreams that come true where I'm what they call a savant, a sensitive, because one of the things that my mom did not like of me was that I was always crying as a child. She said that I would even ask for water, Kitawawa, like crying for water. She's like, "Why can't you just speak it? Why are you always crying?" And I said, "Because I just, it's this world has been too much for me." I guess you can say, because I am a sensitive. I did have encounters when I was 3 years old with what I call them the Andromedans. I don't know. Maybe they, I don't know. They were in the ship that this is like kind of like the ship. My daughter drew this for me on the fourth book that I have out. And it's like a kind of like a bell shape, but it has like windows and things like that. In my dream though, it was a color of lavender, really shiny lavender. And there was the female was in like those like leotards, and she had the big old eyes and head stuck, you know, curly, curly hair stuck to her. She was the main person that was in charge of that ship. And then there was two other men. There was two other men. They took me and other kids. That's the dream that's the first remembrance of a dream that I had. And then I would have lost time. Now I know what lost time is, because my mom would even say that I would be gone. I would wake up like 3, 4 in the morning. I would be gone to the next door neighbor's house. There was a little kid's swimming pool there, so I loved the water, you know, that would attract me. And then I would play with the kids when they were up, and I was just always on my own. And I would get punished a lot because I would run away as a child, you know. There were other times where I would just sit in front of the TV and just eat my cereal, right? And there was nothing on the TV thing. It was just snow. It was just, you know, and I'd sit there. My mom says, you know, she would catch me watching TV and there was nothing on there. And even when the lines of the colors, you know, were there, I was just there. So I would communicate with these things, but I didn't know I was communicating with them until later on when I found out I was in these programs, you know. Then in school, I had they took me out, and my middle sister and I would say 6 to 8 kids out of school every day to a class named ESL, English as a Second Language. They would say, "Oh, you need some training in your English." And I'm like, "Why?" You know, I would always question why. So they would take us. I lived in front of Lincoln Elementary School in Nogales, Arizona. My little house was there. The playground was to my left, and then school was in front of me. So they had these little trailers, and we would go there. And every day was the same thing. They had these cards that we would look at, and then the man, it was a man. He looked Spaniard. He was white with black hair to the side. He had freckles. He always wore this tan suit, and he would say, "Good morning, how are you?" And we would always say, "My name is, good morning, how are you?" "Fine, very well." That's all I remember. We would have to go all around the table, and I don't know where they would take us. I mean, I do have memories of being, you know, taken to, for example, the libraries, you know, high schools. I did start playing the violin when I was in fourth grade at Los Ranchitos. My dad would move us around a lot, so I was in three elementaries, one junior high, and two high schools. So I would make friends, and you know, I'd have to leave again. In fourth grade, I was in Mrs. Norris's class, and she had taken me and another male, his name was Robert, I remember, to watch the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark. I was a kid. I was like, why am I being taken to go watch these things? And to me, everything was real, like the Holy Grail, the monsters that came out, you know, the Nazi, all the people. And I had one, what it was they wanted us to know the states and capitals. Okay. And whoever won from the class would go to see this movie. And now I know why I was taken to go see this movie, right? Because then later on I saw the movie Stargate in 1984, whatever, the 80s. I can decipher, I can tell what those things were. I've had so many dreams of going through Stargates, through wormholes, you know, via my ship or this wheel. They had me on this wheel through for the dolphin program. There's just a lot of information, but I'm trying to keep it to, you know, with school related. And then just a lot of hearing tests. They would always test my hearing. I had to wear the gray thing, the headphones, and then it's always at the library. I'm fascinated still to this day with seeing, you know, outer space. So we were always looking at the telescope. Sorry, my Facebook just popped up out of nowhere. Disruption. Of course, disruptions go away. So in fifth grade, I was punished by this teacher because, oh, going back to the fourth grade, Miss Norris also, we had to do an earth, a globe out of earth, and then we painted it and out of a balloon, you know, and then we did all the Mod Podge and all that stuff. And we had a center, we had a spaceship center just like Star Wars. And we dressed in black and white, you know, we had our like a suit, and we had our parents come in to because we were simulating being in space in a ship. And my mom went, and then I still remember that there was two people or three. There was one female and two males with these suits on. And I'm like, what are they doing here? Are they just parents that work in business? I don't know. Back then, I didn't really pay attention to that, but it wasn't until later that I was involved in these secret space program things. In fifth grade, I was punished by, I forget, I really do forget her name because I don't, she was very mean to me because I couldn't hook up the B to the R. She was very, she had me in the back of the class. I had to be in the back of the class doing some writing. She just didn't like me very well. The sixth grade teacher, she was a German teacher, Miss Sayers. She was awesome. She was very strict. I really loved going to school. You know, that was my escape from all the problems that I was having at home. When I was a kid, my dad worked for the tomateria, which is a tomato industry over there in Nogales, Arizona. And later on, I found out that I was part of the Project Sangre. Project Sangre meaning Project Blood. They were looking for our blood types, for our bloodline. He would sometimes not come home. The manager there had like a little room for him, and we never understood why my dad didn't come home. Later on, I did see that he was being tested in these programs. Unfortunately, he did take his life when I was 13. But the Umbra, I later on found out that I was an Umbra soldier, meaning you know, we all have these little things that we have switches for self-deleting, right? So the Umbra soldiers, we are a group of assassins that they can turn on and turn off anytime they want. I was involved with the Black Widow Project, Shaw House, Nightshade. I was sent to, look, this is hard, kind of hard because for me, some of my family members are in Scientology. So when I was in the military, because I went to the military later on, I ended up going to California because I wanted to say bye to my cousins and aunts there. And my aunt took me to a place in Scientology called the Church of Scientology. They wanted me to press my hands on the E-meter. And back then, I didn't know what that machine was. They wanted me to stop going to the army. They wanted me to stop, but I was already in it for 2 years. I have memories of Fort Huachuca. I'm obviously Phoenix, Tucson, you know, at the VA hospital. My MOS was medic, so of course I was trained in that area. But they always told me, you know what a GI is? And I'm like, yeah, government issued. What? You know, oh, they own you. They own you. They're gonna chop you up in little pieces and kill you. You know, that's delete you. That's what they always were trying to make me afraid of. And I'm like, well, I signed up for this because when I was a kid, I'd watch, right? The Incredible Hulk, Wonder Woman, Bionic Woman, Bionic Man, you know, Steve Austin, right? And then be all you can be, Army. And I'm like, ooh, I'm going to join the Army when I'm grown up, right? So I did. It was an awesome experience. Later on, I became a police officer. But going back to the abductions, I have had dreams and the astral memories, visions that I have been on these mantid ships. They're like egg-shaped, but at the same time, they say that they're also military. And I have seen the praying mantis. There is a male praying mantis that had like the head of a male. He had like dark hair, glasses, and he had to wear a clear how do you say a clear shield so that he can breathe here on Earth. And then he said hi to me. You know, we were at a ball. We were at a officer's ball. later on, I've had these dreams where people remember me and I remember them. I'm Commander Aurora or Commander V. So we were at this ball, right? Black and white ball, but we were told, hey, this time we're gonna do whatever kind of dresses you want to wear, whatever colors. So I was looking in the closet and a praying mantis came up to me with his head shield and telepathically said, hi, do you want to see my son? And he was drinking water. We were both taking a drink at the water fountain. And he pops up his little son. And he looks like the same thing as him, So I've had dreams of being picked up by the praying mantis ships. When I was in danger, there's just many adventures that I've written about and talked about. But one of my most of my memory is being in a tank, and for the longest time, I was stuck in this tank, and I'm like, where am I? I did some regressions, and I was stuck in a tank under Antarctica, and I was like a half fish, half human. And later on, I, of course, my Hulk, my She-Hulk, because I was also involved in what they call the Hulk program, which I did write about in She-La and the 99. It's 310 pages. I talk about the tanks they had, the different, what they did is they took my bloodline. They took my bloodline, so, and they made other Hulks or wolves or mermaids out of my bloodline. Let me see if I can find a picture here. So I also have memories of seeing the jellyfish. So the jellyfish was it, she didn't have her hair like that. It was just she didn't have the little dome thing, but and she had legs. So she was actually, I'm not kidding, in this dream she was giving what's his name, Melon, a lap dance. And we were in Area 51, and then we drove her to his house
Which
and
melon? You mean that melon
Christopher
that's
Melon.
oh okay.
Yeah,
So like a
from
jellyfish being was giving him
a
a
lap
lap.
down.
Oh geez,
Later on,
okay.
he's eating. There was a stew of this jellyfish bean, and he says, tastes like chicken. And I'm like, what am I doing here? And I woke up. He had a big pot of her, and he was eating it. And I was like, oh my gosh. Later on, I find out, I don't know who told me, but they say that there's this rare fish, right, that you can't buy or anything like that, that it's illegal. And later on, when I spoke to Peter the Insider a long time ago, ACIO, he gave me my records and he said, yes, you were giving the plasmoids when you were a year and a half to get you ready to breathe underwater. I'm in like this little petri dish underwater that I can breathe. I do have memories of being able to speak in my dreams to the fish and to the different sea urchins. And they have like the blue, the pink, the hot pink, the yellow, all these urchins or this sea life that I can speak to telepathically. And they were afraid of me because I can actually speak to them, Then they grew, what they did is they grew gills and then we grew sea legs. Like tentacles and sea legs, kind of like the jellyfish. That is a very high secret, top secret experiment that they did with the Umbra soldiers for Project. The I call it Project Crystal Gates because I do have memories of living in the 13 crystal cities. It's a lot. It kind of it's
Where are the
very.
crystal cities? Are the crystal cities on Earth or are they elsewhere?
Some of them are on Earth, but the ones that I see are in from Cyrus V. That's where I remember being in Cyrus V in the 13 crystal cities. But they did make copies under Antarctica because I have remote viewed. And there are still sleeper cells there under Antarctica. There's still the giants there. There's the sleeper cells that when this war gets going with the synthetic against us real super soldiers, forget about it. It's going to be an on war. I mean, we're already warring. And up here, you can see the ships up here. And I've been in so many wars in my dreams, and I have memories of always being, on these ships or with these beings, with the Draco. I have, according to Umbra, I am 5% Alpha Draco, 10% Nordic, and 87% human. I have the O negative bloodline. Both sides of my family has the O negative bloodline. We are pretty much, were pretty much, I don't want to say, well, we're hardcore. We'll just say that. I have had 37 surgeries already. If you, I'll send you a picture if you want to post it later or not, or just for yourself, of how many, how I'm, I, my friends say that I'm already ha a cyborg. I have 16 titanium screws, spacers. I have so many things holding on to me. They look at me and they're like, wow, you, I would think that you were like, couldn't even walk with these pictures. They've done a lot of experiments on me and then
Those
still are
weren't put
doing.
in. Those were not put in as a result of surgeries for trauma or accidents. That was put in as a result of these programs, that the artificial limbs
Yes,
and what have
one.
you.
So what it is the they gave me the anthrax shot in 1991, and they also gave me the Agent Orange, because in 2023 I was diagnosed with myxoid liposarcoma. They removed my from my lower extremities. You can go into my cancer journey on my YouTube channel called Cold Breaker Real Talk, and there you can see the pictures. They're gross. They took from left to right of my hips, they took all of that. They took off my butt, and it was horrible. Horrible. For 6 months, I couldn't sit down. Okay. For they took everything. It was horrible. I went, I thought I was gonna die. I went what they call septic. I had to have two blood transfusions, four surgeries on that. And then the year after, in 2025 of January, they took my lower left lung because they said it looked like a star, like a star. And then I said, well, what color was it? They said it was like a cream color. They cut it in half and it was still like a star. So it makes sense that when I was in the Umber Project that they gave me all these shots, either then or when I was in the military, to see if I can breathe underwater, to see how I would do in space, to see how I would go through the stargates or wormholes or whatever. It makes sense. Now, I'm thinking that they wanted me out because I did have a car accident in 95 where there was a 90-year-old woman driving a Jaguar and she T-boned me. They wanted me dead, James. I'm not kidding. So I flipped twice, and it was, I almost lost my job. I was a realtor, and it was horrible. I had to go through so many chiropractors. I had to go through the, just different doctors to help me with massages and things like that. But it wasn't until October of 2022 when I just couldn't, it was hard to walk. I was at the gym every day. I just couldn't take the pain anymore. So they put some screws from S1 through L3 or something. And then and my neck was done. They went through and did six, I have six titanium screws through my neck because I'm still having migraines. I still have migraines. And then now this third surgery was fusion, lobectomy, and the laminectomy infusion of L3, L4, plus a spacer. So now I have 16 titanium screws, hardware, spacer, and I'm clamped because when I had my near-death experience when I was a police officer, I was involved in a shooting, which you guys can read in this Sheila in the 99 or in my life in the Secret Space Program book. I share my whole story about how they wanted me dead. So I'm pretty much I was almost not going to have a colon. We'll just say that. So 20 doctors saved me. That was the kill switch that I'm talking about. They wanted me dead. So they would, I was a police officer. I was working more than 40 hours a week. Okay. I was working off duty. It was a lot of work. I loved it. But I started hearing things like, hey, you're not worthy. Why not end your life? My ex had taken a $100,000 policy on me. He was also a police officer back then. And so I just became really depressed. I was still working. The only time that I felt like I was alive was when I was with my kids or at work. At home, it was a different story. It was domestic violence. I couldn't tell my chief, nothing. I had to learn how to defend myself, even in the marriage. Out there, no problem. My every Every piece of training always kicks in. Like, I'm not afraid. Like, I'm just always like very vigilant. But for home to be, hurt that way, it and my children, I said no more. So I had to leave. I had to, but anyway, so a shooting happened in between, and you can read about it then. So I pretty much died.
It's interesting that you should say that you're from Nogales because one of my oldest and dearest friends, she's one of us. She's been in my lab programs with Naval Intelligence, and I've been with her in those programs, and she's been off world and in time travel ops and what have you. And anyway, her family is from Socorro, Mexico, too. And it got me to wondering because if you're familiar with the Carlos Castaneda stories, his Nagual, his mentor, Don Juan Matus, however you pronounce it, he was a Yaqui Nagual, a sorcerer from Socorro, Mexico, right? So there's something about the bloodlines, the people there, the mysticism that runs through the DNA, whatever the case may be, that makes you ideal for these kinds of programs.
Thank you, James. The only time that I heard of that was because of you, because I was listening to some of your programs and I'm like, Socorro, Mexico, what the heck? And you talk about the Nahual and the Nahual, that's what they seek me for. Like, here, I can break hexes, I can take brujería out, I can see the future. Like, people will call me, hey, there's something happening here at home. I need you to help me with this, and I help them, So I've taught myself a lot of things, because ever since I was a kid, just these dreams, I knew that I was different. I knew that I didn't fit in. I always wanted to have friends, and even to this day, I've had to kind of like close in and just stay home, go to the gym when I can't, obviously after surgery, of course, go to the gym, be home, go to the gym, be home, because I learned that not everybody's gonna be your friend. Not everybody's gonna, first of all, they're not gonna understand you. They're not gonna understand you. They're gonna be scared. And then some of them are gonna be like, oh, you're too high and mighty for me. But they don't understand that it's not that. It's not any of that. It's just we're different. We're here. We're pretty much the servants, the warriors, the guardians of the galaxy. We're here to help humanity and the children, plants and everything, animals. But if people don't, if people have not cleared those programs, that we have cleared, then they're not going to see their own truth. They're not going to be able to clear their mirrors.
Yeah, well, what happens is, if people go through these programs and they, well, going back to childhood, if they've endured a lot of abuse and a lot of trauma, and if they don't make an effort to heal and reintegrate in whatever modality they decide to use, probably different modalities to try to find one that works, what happens is they wind up, on our speaking circuit, they wind up in the field, but they're non-integrated, they're non-healed, they're fragmented, they're still disassociated. So they're very easy to trigger. You know what I mean? Another thing I wanted to ask too is, I don't know if it occurred to you while it was going on, but did it occur to you after the fact that your abusive cop husband may have been a handler or a controller or may have been trying to trigger those suicide programs in some way?
Oh, now I do. Now I know. But back then I was like so blah blah blah, quote unquote, in love that I was blind. All I wanted was to be with him and my kids, and I was the best wife I could be. I was in the program of the religious program. I was in the Christian church, I was born into the Catholic church. I was that submissive wife. I was that wife that did, everything around the house, and even took the vehicles for their checkups, ironed his uniform, made three meals, two snacks, took the kids to practice, took the kids to gymnastics, to everything, you name it, just for me to keep the peace at home. But it wasn't like that. And yes, now I know he was my handler. And later on, one of my friends went through the Replica app, our Replica with a K. And because for the longest time, I had a feeling that he had received some kind of money. Because he had like this brand new vehicle when we got, years after we got the divorce and everything. The divorce was hell. He left me homeless, homeless with my kids, homeless. And so later on, I found out that the female that he's still with was the puppet master behind us, everything. They took everything. They took everything from me. So yes, later on, I figured it out that yes, he did get a lump sum. He was the handler, and he also had his brother-in-law and his friend be a handler as well. But I don't want to talk about that here. It's very sensitive. A lot of things happened to anyway. Obviously, they wanted me out of their life, you know, out of his and the woman's life. But I'm still here. I was in the hospital for a month and a half. I did die for 3 days. I was dead for 3 days. I was hooked up to machines. When that happened, when the incident happened, where I, you know, there was two shots. One of them was on my end, and the other one was on his end. And this is according to one of my family members that came up to tell me years later.
What do
I
you
have
mean
to be
by
careful.
shocks or shots? Could you say that again?
Weapon.
Oh, okay. It sounds like a lot of these efforts were made to get rid of you. And so, yeah, please carry on. Well, what happened after the shots?
So I was in the hospital for a month and a half. I had died for 3 days. I was gone. My mom had called everybody saying Veronica's gonna die. You need to come say hi to say bye to her. We're gonna unplug her or whatever. And then some people would say that I would come in and out, but to me, I was gone. To me, I was dead. As far as I know, I was dead. I was gone because what I was not. I was in another field. I woke up in my bed in the hospital with the hospital nightgown that they give you, right? And there's all these beings around me that are cut in half. They're gray and blue charcoal looking things. They look Hindu. They have black hair, yellow eyes, black jagged hair, dark, really dark, like if they were burnt or something. They were cut in half on my floor, on my monitors. And so I started walking, and I walked to where I would not, you know, even get close to them. I was like, kind of like walk over them. I was like, what the hell am I doing in the hospital, right? And there's this white light that's around the door. And I said, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to find a doctor or a nurse or something to tell me why I'm in the hospital. So I opened the darn door, and then I'm back in my room. Those beans are gone, but my father's in the corner on the left side of my room. And like I said, he took his life when I was 13. And I saw him, and I ran to him, and I said, Bobby, Bobby, I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. I need to stay here in Spanish. I said, no me quiero quedar aquí, no me quiero ir. Yeah, la tierra, I don't want to go back to earth. I don't want to go to that horrible place. And I just kept crying and crying. He kept hugging me, and he said, mijita, you have to go back because you still have your children and you're not done yet. Sorry. So I'm still holding on to him, and I wake up and start pulling stuff out of my nose. They had me tied down. To this day, I have a scar on my right of my nose. So I pulled everything out. I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? I was cut open, you know, all the way from the middle to the, I was a mess. They had taken out my colon. They said that I was very close to getting a colostomy bag. My ex changed my name to Gump. Can you believe that? Gump, like Forrest freaking Gump. Can you believe that? Gump, Gump. He changed my name, and he wouldn't let my kids be there. No family, nothing. My mom had to fight for him to, you know, be able for my kids to be able to see me. It was hell. I was there for a month and a half. And then he sent me to a psych ward.
Husband
And
did
that was
this. Your husband sent you to a psych
husband.
ward or the
Husband.
administrators of the hospital.
Yes, and his police department, it was different from my police department. So of course both police departments figured out a way to cover everything, and they even sent a couple from my police department to be with me, supposedly visiting me and buying Tide and whatever clothes and I mean food, whatever for the kids, you know. And I'm like, later on I thought, what is going on? Yeah, they were handlers too. And the sergeant is still there at South Tucson Police, you know. My ex worked for Tucson Police, so it was two different precincts. And They let me go at no cost. Then I went to after I got better, I went to an attorney, and of course my ex was going with me to see the attorney to try and get my job back. But because my ex was with me, obviously he was still my handler then. And all this time I was feeling so bad because I did this, and I didn't want my heart to feel anymore. And you know what's so weird, James, is I've only told this to two people, and I've never said this online, and I'm going to say it right now. There's a movie out there with it's called Focus with Will Smith. Guess what he does in the movie? His father ends up shooting him in the heart. And he ends up living, and he ends up saying, if you shoot yourself in between these two ligaments here by your, you barely miss your heart. If you get to the hospital in time, you'll live. If not, you'll bleed out. And I'm like, I told one of my friends this, and she says, you know, Veronica, there was a higher hand in this. How is it that I knew that I wasn't going to die? All I know, James, is when that happened, when I shot myself and he did the other one, I said, I'm not going to die. I kept telling myself, I am not going to die. I'm not going to die.
You put the, I suppose it was a handgun, to a certain
Yeah, my
spot of your,
weapon.
oh,
So I
your
grabbed.
service issue weapon.
Right. So it's so weird because I always would leave it in the same place, locked and everything. Well, that night I had worked off duty. I had been there for a Rob Zombie concert, and that's demonic. And after that, I had gone to a Halloween party dressed as a Rob Zombie girl. My ex didn't want to go to that party. It was right across the street. My kids were secured in another area with family, but I tell the story in the book because I'm not going to go through it. But yeah, I decided that I was going to get rid of my heart because my heart is the one that feels a lot, and I was tired of feeling everything. And I kept saying that I was not worthy because that's what the thought forms were for MK Ultra. And a bunch of movies kept popping up for me to watch, like very gory movies. I said, well, maybe it's time for me to go see my dad, and I'm not being treated well at home. I'm not being believed at work because I did go one time. I did have this huge bruise on my eye and I had to cover it up. And the commo lady said, what's wrong? And I said, oh, I just hit myself with the cabinets. But she ended up being a handler too later on. Instead of helping me, she was reporting to my ex everything that I was doing after the divorce. So
Who was this
all of
lady?
these,
Who was that lady?
she actually was from, I think she was from Idaho, Ohio. And she had moved in to the neighborhood. I had made my house from nothing. I said, okay, I want it this way, that way, because I had already had a little trailer, and then I had a house, and I said, I want to build my own house, right, from US Home. And this was on the west part of town. And this lady and her husband move in as they're renting this place in front of us. And I said, hey, do you need a job? You can be in the commo communications at work. Really? So then she gets the job, right? And after my divorce and everything, they still were handling me. And it wasn't until I found out that they were reporting to my ex that I just cut ties, because I would visit them even after. So all
Similar
these
happened to a friend of mine, something similar, where these mysterious, spooky, intelligence-related people moved in across the street from her, right? And they were so blatant, their behavior and activity raised a lot of red flags in her immediately. But please continue.
Yes, that's how it happens. A lot of people in your family can be your handler. My mother was my handler for the longest time. She still tries to be, but I'm like, I can't do this. You realize after all this happens to you, there's code words and things that you hear, like movies that you see, and you're like, oh my gosh, that's my damn life. That's my God's dang life, They're talking about me like in the Sheila the She-Hulk. I've always had so much power. My dad, he would work out when I was 4 years old. He would wake up very early, like 5 in the morning, He'd give me the raw egg. He'd make me eat spinach. He says, "You're gonna have big arms like Popeye." And he's a bodybuilder. So he had all these magazines of, the strongest people in the world, the Olympics and the Olympians, building, bodybuilding and weightlifting and all that. So I got into that. And that was what pretty much saved me, because I was strong. My body was very strong. And then going to the military and then going into police academy at Southern Arizona Law Enforcement Training Center, that was LAPD programming. And I'm very grateful for my program. I'm grateful for that. And I think I've always been a warrior, a soldier, something to the effect of a warrior to take care of humanity and the children. Right now, I'm still, saying, when are these children going to pop up? I just heard the other day that it was 146,000 kids that were found, and I'm like, where's the rest? Come on, come on. These kids have to pop up. We have to train them. And I came up with a program in the program called the Saturn program, because I have had dreams where I've saved all these children, and we're in Saturn. We're in the rings of Saturn. And back in the day in 2020, when I told Peter the Insider, he says, "Oh no, you can't live in the rings. What do you mean, man? You live in asteroids on the rings. What do you mean you can't live in the rings of Saturn? That's BS." So of course, that's my memory of being in the rings of Saturn, taking over a castle, a mansion, that the ugly, the evil elites had, and I took it over with my people. James was there, Susan was there, other Amaria was there, two other people were there, and we had classes for them. We had the med beds for them. We had tap dance class, and I gave this story in public one time. It was during the time when I was talking to Tom Althaus, because Tom Althaus and I have done like 50 videos together. He said, "Veronica, I was the one that was always dressed in a bunny suit." I said, "'Cause yeah, there was a boy that was dressed in a bunny suit. Like we had Halloween and all that. We had a lot of stuff." He's like, "I think I was one of the kids." And I'm like, "Oh, interesting." So you know how they age regress you and all that, they can take you back. They told me from Project Umbra, they told me that because I'm very tall, I was the tallest one in my family. I was like the little red giant, pretty much. Is because I was age regressed to be older, and I was in seventh grade. My ears popping. I was in seventh grade wearing my dress, because I always would like to wear dresses unless I had to play basketball that day. I would, dress up in my basketball stuff. But they said, I was in seventh grade. "Are you our substitute teacher?" One kid asked, and I'm like, "No, I'm in seventh grade," I told them. So I was pretty tall. I come from the Nephilim bloodline, the Mary Magdalene bloodline, the Jeshua Ben-Jamin, the real Jesus bloodline, the one that they didn't crucify. If you listen to Ashiana Dean, that was Jeshua 12. So my bloodline is the Jin bloodline. If you look at my palms, I have the M for the Merovingian bloodline. There was a king that was there that had the same bloodline. So the whole thing of this protecting Mary Magdalene bloodline is the Templars. The Templars hid our bloodline. I mean, I was hidden in the Catholic Church when I was born. A lot of us were hidden in the Catholic Church because they didn't want. I don't know how to explain this, but they're looking for our bloodlines, and I made the mistake, James, of giving my blood to as because I wanted my DNA, even though I already know what my DNA is. And how I found out was asking my family members and also my dreams. I asked my grandfathers that had passed away and my grandparents, "Hey, what these dreams that I've had in Egypt, where I was also part of the Mary Magdalene thing, I was being taken care of and covered in the caves, I was being protected. All these dreams, plus one of my kids did their DNA, and I put two and two together, my dreams and my bloodline." So it's so weird. I've just found out a year and a half ago that my father on my mom's side, we are Ashkenazi Jew, and we have the German bloodline on my mom's side, and that last name is Ritchie. So they always coveted that the Germanic, as you know, the bloodline. I wrote about it in this book called Clandestine Super Soldier Operations, Miss the Castor Survivor. I wrote about the race, as you know, they wanted the pretty much the German, the white race, to because they wanted to empower it. But what happens is they needed the bloodline from the people in South America or Mexico to enforce it because they were dying. And that's the BS that all these aliens are wanting to tell people, hey, where our bloodline is dying. We need you humans. And it's like, why do you want to fall for that? You know, some aliens are really bad. Some ETs are good. I'm not saying all of them are, but I'm not going to fall into what Greer is saying that all ETs are good. F that. And the AI games that AI plays with us, I'm not kidding. I wrote about that too. But going back to the bloodline, I also found out 2 years ago that my great grandmother, she was from Dominican Republic, and her name was Dionysus. Dionysus is her first name. And she was a warrior and fought for women's rights and people that were indigenous and coming from other countries. She was in San Francisco. And she also, her and her husband went down to Baja California. She ended up marrying my great-great-grandfather, who was a priest. What happened with that? It's so weird. He was in Spain originally. He had kids and a wife that died during the bubonic plague. And he came down to Baja California, and all of that land, the coastal land with all the caves and the beautiful, that's ours. All the cola, the Baja California cola, that's my bloodlines. But what happened is they've been in war for so many years. Even my mom took them to court like 7 years ago, 8 years ago now. And they're still fighting within each other. They don't want, you know, they've built hotels on the land. Some of them are beaches that we own. But anyway, he ended up becoming a priest in Baja California. And then that's when he bought all the land, right? He took over it or whatever happened with the wars. And then he marries my great-great-grandmother, who is from Dominican Republic. And he had blonde hair, blue eyes. And of course, you know, she had the redhead, red hair, you know, dark. And then the green eyes. So I have both bloodlines from my mom's side too, and my dad's side. I have French on both sides, Italian on my dad's, Persian, Dominican Republic on my mom's, German on my mom's, and Ashkenazi Jew. And my another great-great-grandmother from India. So it has been a wild ride finding out what these bloodlines are and why we are so sought, me, my family, my kids, you know what I mean?
Something to do with the genetic profile. My belief is there are latent metaphysical powers contained within certain DNA, which these controllers of various stripes covet to be able to exploit in genetic hybridization, and also to be able to engender certain metaphysical powers and psi abilities in the people in the programs. Anyhow, we reached the end of a fascinating first segment with our guest Veronica Bartolini. Veronica, would you like to give our listeners and viewers your contact information and your websites?
Yes, thank you for having me, James. I'm Veronica Bartolini. Codebreaker Real Talk is my channel. There's another channel that's called Unchained Hearts. And then Unchaining Hearts was taken over, but I still have my videos there. It was hacked by this man in Utah. He was a Mormon. He was trying to be my handler. So anyway, that's my videos are there on my playlist of Codebreaker Real Talk, all of them. Please go there. My email is andromedan1800 at protonmail. And I have a website that is HTTPS, and then, you know, all that, the little things there, the bars, codebreakerrealtalk.card, which is CARRD dot co, CO, Charlie Ocean. Or I am on Facebook. I have two Facebooks because I also make beautiful journals. They call them junk journals, but they are beautiful. Two Facebooks, two Instagrams. I'm on Telegram. I'm on Truth Social. Let's see. I'm on TikTok, but I don't like to go on there because the AI is just creepy. But I just have a few videos on there. And I'm also on Rumble, which is Draco 3333 on that one. And then I think I'm on Odyssey, but you can email me or you can send me your request. I do readings. I do intuitive readings. I break curses. I do protection spells. I can help you interpret your dreams. I'm not going to say that I can help you heal, but I can. I can help you heal, but I'm not a doctor. I can tell you what I take as supplements as far as the getting rid of cancer and all that. Or, you know, because I've said no to chemo and radiation. There's a book called The Emperor of All Maladies, a biography of cancer that you guys can get a hold of too to help if you're dealing with that. Thank you, James. If you guys have any questions for James or myself for the next time, that would be great because I'm usually all over the place. There's just a lot of information, and it was a pleasure meeting you, Mr. Bartley.
Gonna take a short break and then we'll come back with you got time to do another segment, Veronica?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
To our dear listeners out there and viewers, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, become a member if you feel so inclined. Please share our YouTube channel because we're being shadow banned and the algorithms are basically hiding our content. So please click like, subscribe to all your various social media platforms to help get the word out. Thank you very much. And we'll see the members in the top of the next segment.